welcome to the program. Jodie Hoffman here with you for the next hour here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM, broadcasting to you out of the Law Matters studios. Well, it's not the Law Matters studios, although it is for this hour every fortnight. It's Noongar Radio in the old Aboriginal Advancement Council in Beaufort Street in Perth. But g'day to our listeners in Fitzroy Crossing as well, listening to us through Wonky Radio and, of course, around the country through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Coming up this hour, I'm going to be telling you all about our new members on the Executive Committee for the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Our committee has traditionally been 16 members, but has been moved down to 8 members, and the inaugural meeting of those 8 members took place in Perth last week. We'll tell you more about our members coming up in the second half of this program. But kicking off the program today, we're going to be having a chat with one of our lawyers who works out of our Civil and Human Rights Unit in Perth at the Aboriginal Legal Service, and welcoming to the program for the very first time, Heather Minaglio. Heather, how are you going? Welcome to the program.
Good, thanks, Jodie. Thanks for having me.
It is the first time, bit of a baptism of fire. You've only been with the ALS since December 2014. How are you enjoying your stint here?
Yeah, I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it.
Okay. Civil and Human Rights Unit is a great unit. It's a very interesting unit dealing with our human rights, discrimination, a whole lot of areas. Tell us about your legal journey so far.
Okay. So I graduated in mid-2013. Throughout law school, I worked at Legal Aid, and I really got exposed to a lot of the different social issues facing Aboriginal people in Western Australia. Always had a strong interest in it and thought commercial law, basically it bored me to tears. So I knew that that social justice line of work is basically where I was going to go. Worked for a judge for a year, met Paul Garzia, the managing solicitor of our unit in Broome, end of last year, had a yarn. Basically, next time a job came up, I applied and ended up at ALS, and I'm loving it. It's great.
Okay. We've got over 100 people at our offices throughout Western Australia, 15 offices in all. On our program a couple of weeks ago, we were chatting with Paul Garzia, the manager of that unit that you're in, and also Sarush Razi, and they were talking about visiting the north of our state and doing workshops and telling our mob about their rights and all of that. And the exciting news is that the south of Western Australia is not missing out either, because you've been down south. Tell us where you've travelled.
Yes, yeah, so last week I was at Bunbury, Manjimup and Collie, also dropped through Harvey and Pinjarra. Spent most of the time in Bunbury. I think that's where the biggest client base is. But we haven't actually visited Collie and Manjimup before. So I spent a lot of time there, just, I suppose, going around to local businesses, letting them know of our services, trying to set up a client base for the next time I travel down, which will probably be end of August, September. And the next outreach I'll be going on will be the 13th of July, heading down to Narrogin, Wage and Katanning in Albany. We've been down there a couple of times already, so we've already got a bit of a base down there, but always looking for new opportunities.
It's a big state, Western Australia. Are you in a car? You're driving?
Yes, yeah, sorry. I always just drive around. It's always easier. I could fly down to Albany, but I don't mind the drive. It's quite nice.
It's about a six-hour drive, but it's pretty scenic. But the thing is that it is a really vast state, and I guess that the issues facing Aboriginal people from community to community do vary. And I guess when you get into country areas of the state, it becomes a little bit harder to access information about what your legal rights are, what services are available. When you were visiting those places, were they aware of how extensive our services are?
I suppose I actually took over the circuit from another solicitor. So I know that, Great Southern, which is Narrogin, Wage and Katanning in Albany, they seem to have a good knowledge of our services, but Southwest didn't so much. So that's an area we'd like to expand into. But I suppose the main area that we do have in the south is police complaints. It would be good to let people know that we also do things such as coronial inquests, racial discrimination, prison complaints, can provide information about wills, and also a little bit of consumer protection if it arises, which it hasn't so far.
So how do you go about just going into communities and doing outreach? Is it specific workshops that are set up, or how does it happen?
I haven't actually organised any workshops yet. There's been some interest in Harvey. So next time I head down, probably August, September, I'll probably be doing maybe some community legal education in Harvey, depending on whatever area they find that there's a need for education. But basically, I'll just go around to local businesses, usually we'll visit the town council, any local MPs. I visited the radio station in Collie as well. They did a shout-out over the radio, which was helpful.
Yay!
So just anyone who'll get the word out, really.
You mentioned that one of the big issues that comes up is police complaints. Tell us more about that.
Okay. I suppose since police generally stay in country towns, they're most meant to be moved on every year or two, but they generally aren't. I'm not too sure what to say about it without giving away too much information, but there's generally an issue in a lot of country towns, I suppose. The same conflicts keep arising, and the police, I don't know whether potentially they get fed up with it, but some of them don't lift their feet on some matters that they should. And it's very difficult to get them to act in some situations.
Do you find that people are more willing to come forward now and make a complaint about the police?
In some situations they are, but it's also very difficult in country towns. Some of them don't want to rock the boat, especially when they need the police to protect them, as well as, act in their best interests.
And everyone knows everyone.
Yeah, and everyone knows everyone, which is obviously a problem. It is possible to put in a complaint to ask the police officer to move on, but it has to be a pretty good reason or... a couple of people coming forward to say that there's a lot of problems with the particular officer.
Country areas aside, if somebody felt that they'd been treated unfairly by a member of the police, what avenues do they do? They can contact the Aboriginal Legal Service. What's the process that happens?
So basically, I guess the best way to do it would be for me to visit them in person, take instructions, and then submit a complaint to the PCAC, which is the Police Complaints Administration Centre. If it's serious, then it goes straight to the Corruption and Crime Commission, the CCC. But generally, we'll do it to PCAC, and hopefully they'll get it externally investigated instead of investigated at the particular station. And it sort of depends on the circumstances as to what sort of outcome there'll be.
Another area that you mentioned was consumer protection. We like talking about consumer protection on this program, Heather, because it's an area where anybody these days can be scammed. Those scams are so advanced, now it's through the internet, it's on the phone, it's on the doorstep, it's everywhere. What do you tell people about their rights as consumers?
Honestly, I haven't actually had any clients with any consumer protection issues. I know that it has been a problem, especially for Paul and Sarush in the north of WA, because it seems like a lot of these consumer scammers actually do target people in the country. But I would basically tell them to not enter into anything without getting a second opinion. I suppose you can contact the Consumer Protection Line. That is a WA state-based line that probably be able to tell you over the phone whether it's a scam or not, although there's also a Scam Watch website. But I just wouldn't enter into anything that makes you double think about whether something's going to happen because, just don't hand your bank details over.
My guest is Heather Minaglio. Heather is a lawyer in our Civil and Human Rights Unit at the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia, chatting with us on the Law Matters program, which comes to you each fortnight by the ALS here in WA. 6 months into the job, Heather, have there been some surprises along the way? You said that your work through legal aid gave you a real interest in social justice. To go from working for a government agency such as Legal Aid to a community-based organisation like the Aboriginal Legal Service, has it been a bit of an eye-opener seeing what is really happening on the ground level?
Definitely. I think I did get a pretty good grasp of that when I worked at Legal Aid, but it was mainly in family law and criminal law. I didn't actually have much to do with civil and human rights. I much prefer civil and human rights. I think it's a lot more interesting and a lot more flexible through ALS. The government, through Legal Aid, basically had very strict guidelines as to what we could and couldn't assist in, while ALS is a little bit more flexible, especially with country clients. It has been an eye-opener, but it has been fantastic. It's really good to be able to help people and also have really interesting work and be able to travel for it as well. I feel very, very lucky.
I know that there's another trip coming up to our southern region in July, and we'll put all of the information on our website about that at www.als.org.au. But I want to know some of the other general inquiries. Say you have walk-in clients who just walk in and go, look, this has happened to me, that's happened to me. Tell us an idea of some of the inquiries, the nature of them that the civil unit deals with.
Sure. Okay. So it's basically the same as country clients, mainly police complaints, few prison complaints. We do actually go out to the prisons to visit clients on a regular basis. Racial discrimination also in Perth. I actually haven't had too much of that in the country, or at least in the southern region so far. I mean, a lot of clients come in asking for assistance with issues that unfortunately we can't help with, such as Homes West issues or trying to remove driver's license disqualifications, life disqualifications. But even if we can't assist in those matters, we can always refer them to someone who can, because there are a lot of community organisations to help across every different legal issue. You just have to, I suppose, be able to find it, which can be quite difficult.
Yeah.
There's no one organisation that's going to help with every single legal issue, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I guess, look, with the Aboriginal Legal Service, we're funded through the Commonwealth Department of the Attorney-General, and our charter is quite specific in terms of what we can and can't do through that funding obligation. But the good thing is that we can refer other people. I want to mention, while we're talking about referrals as well, that there's an amazing resource that's been put together the last few years by RUAH, R-U-A-H, in Perth, and it's a directory of Aboriginal organisations from people who can assist with housing, there's some employment, emergency services, legal services, and a whole lot. You can go to the RUAH website and download that publication. I think it's called the Aboriginal Organisations Directory, but it's a great resource. I know at the ALS we use it all the time, get a lot of people walk through the door asking about assistance in different areas. So well done to RUAH. It's an absolutely brilliant resource. So you enjoying the travelling, Heather?
Yeah, it's fantastic being able to see, I mean, areas of WA that I may not otherwise visit. It's been great.
What motivates you to do what you do with the ALS? Because social justice is a huge area. It affects the life of so many people in this country. Does it live up to your expectations of what you hope to be doing with the ALS in this area?
Yeah, definitely. I've always been quite empathetic, and I can't really... I'm also very outspoken, so I can't really stand by when there is an injustice. Generally, I'm the first to speak up about that sort of thing. It definitely has been fantastic. The one thing that can get quite frustrating is that I guess we also face the same issues that the clients face. Sometimes we're not listened to. Or sometimes we might not get the outcome that we were hoping for or expecting, especially, I suppose, with things such as police complaints. We might lodge the complaint, wait to hear back and say the police officer has been disciplined, but no further information besides that. It would be good to, I suppose, have a little bit more feedback in those sort of situations, and that's, I suppose, where it can get a little bit disappointing at times, because you really want to seek some answers for the client.
Well, early days for you on your ALS journey. Welcome aboard. Thank you for coming onto the program today. And listeners, if you are in the southern region of WA, some more outreach happening there during July. I think it's around the 13th, but we'll post that information onto our website. Heather Managlio, thank you for coming and having a chat with us.
Thanks, Jodie.
We'll have another chat when you return from your next lot of travels, hey?
Yeah, sounds great.
Heather Managlio is a lawyer from the Civil and Human Rights Unit. If you would like any information about what your human rights are, if you've got complaints and you don't know how to follow through with them, whether it's about the police or treatment that you've had at a bus stop or in a shopping centre or anything, give our free call number a call from anywhere in WA, 1-800-019-900, 1-800-019-900, because the ALS is there to assist. Jodie Hoffman with you on the Law Matters program, brought to you fortnightly by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Amnesty has been in the news this week. Great to see their report launched this week, A Brighter Tomorrow, Keeping Indigenous Kids in the Community and Out of Detention in Australia, a report that highlights that Australia is detaining Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children at the highest rate since the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody 20 years ago. In Australia, it costs $440,000 per year to detain each child, meaning that the cost of just 1 year of detention could instead put a young Indigenous person through an entire undergraduate medical degree. Australia has been condemned by the United Nations for breaching its international obligations around the incarceration of Indigenous young peoples, such as for failing to detain children only as a last resort. And Indigenous communities, according to Amnesty, are taking a new innovative approach to keeping children out of detention, but the success of that hinges on Australian government support to reverse Australia's crisis of Indigenous youth incarceration. They were the words of Amnesty International Secretary General Salil Shetty in launching the national report at the National Press Club in Canberra this week. Salil Shetty is in Australia to call on the government to support Indigenous-led justice reinvestment programs in response to the soaring overrepresentation of our people in detention who are incarcerated at 24 times the rate of non-Indigenous children. And it was staggering to see that he said that, you know, in other countries he's visited recently, such as the Netherlands and Mexico, children under 12 are not held criminally responsible, yet Australian law holds children criminally responsible from the age of just 10, which is out of line with international standards. So here in Australia, we're locking up Indigenous kids from as young as 10 years old at one of the highest rates in the world. Overrepresentation is rising, Indigenous children making up less than 6% of the population of 10 to 17-year-olds, yet more than half, 58% of young people in detention. That information is taken from the Amnesty website. If you would like more information on that report, do just Google Amnesty and News and you will come up with all of that information. Staggering to see some of the stats. And we're going to be chatting more in depth about this report and focusing more on Western Australian aspects of it in a fortnight's time here on the Law Matters program through the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Jodie Hoffman with you on Law Matters for this fortnight. Great to have your company here on Aboriginal Radio. And want to tell you about the brand new Executive Committee for the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. We've usually got 16 members of our Executive Committee member, but this has been reduced to 8 members. But it's absolutely fantastic. A team of highly experienced and respected community members from throughout Western Australia form our newly elected Executive Committee for the ALS. And Director of the ALS, Dennis Eggington, said that the committee plays a major role in guiding the operational procedures of the Aboriginal Legal Service, its organisational functions and policy direction. And each member has been voted in by their local community members. So we can be very relaxed and reassured that they will provide a strong voice for our people. The 8 members held their inaugural meeting in Perth last week to discuss the issues ranging, extremely complex issues facing our mob here in WA in regards to involvement within the criminal justice system. A very productive meeting and significant because it was the first meeting of 8 members, and the reduction marks the Aboriginal Legal Service's commitment to even better government's processes, and it's more cost effective and will have much, much more needed resources for our frontline services. Those on the committee, and remember these have been voted in by their local community members for each region, are Michael Blurton, who has had a very long association with the Aboriginal Legal Service, a Balladong Noongar from the wheatbelt town of Quereding, and he was involved with us way back in the 1970s as a field officer. He's been a former president and he's been voted back in again, this time as president, bringing his committee involvement up to around 12 years. Glenn Colbung joins our committee. Glenn represents the South West region and is our Vice President, a Noongar man from Albany, which for those not familiar with where Albany is, it's just over 400 kilometres southeast of Perth. Also on the Aboriginal Legal Service Executive Committee for this term, Kathy Watson, and she's been on our committee before, probably got about a three-year involvement with the ALS Committee, representing our West Kimberley region. She's a Nengana woman on her mother's side and Gidja on her father's side and is from Broome in the West Kimberley. And the treasurer for our executive committee is a fellow by the name of Jim Lewis, who represents the East Kimberley region, a Gidja man from Wyndham in the East Kimberley region. And this is his first involvement with the Aboriginal Legal Service. And he was motivated to become involved with our committee because of the current challenges facing our people and organisations across all sectors. They are the office bearers, and joining them on the committee for this term, Donald Abdullah from the Goldfields region, a Wongai man from Esperance, located in WA's South East Coast. Once again, his first involvement in our executive committee, and looking forward to gaining a greater insight into this state's justice system and having input into the complex issues facing our people. And he's strongly dedicated to supporting our mob, feels strongly about keeping our young people out of prison. And finally, last but definitely not least, Paul Barron represents the Murchison and Gascoyne region, a Yamaji man from Carnarvon, about 900 k's north of Perth. His first involvement with the ALS as well, and shares the vision of working alongside ALS through its proposed restructure. The Pilbara region position is still vacant, but a very strong committee taking our organisation forward. And over the coming programs, you'll have plenty of opportunity to meet each of our committee members. We'll sit down and have a yarn with each of them at some stage over the coming weeks, months here on Law Matters. And so hello to everyone in Fitzroy Crossing who tune in to us through Wonky Radio. Great to have you on board, and you're lucky to have those local musos as part of your community. We're just about out of time on Law Matters for another fortnight, but thank you for your company. And if there's anything you would like to find out information about in terms of services provided by the Aboriginal Legal Service in WA, just jump onto our website, www.als.org.au. Got a legal problem? Got a legal question? Call us, 1-800-019-900. We have 15 offices around the country, and we can certainly answer your question. And if we can't personally help you, we'll definitely refer you to the right agency who can. All of our pamphlets are online as well. Jump on there and have a look at that. I was talking about our newly elected executive committee just before. Their information is on our website as well. All of our previous radio programs dating back almost 5 years, can you believe it, can be listened to on our website as well. So www.als.org.au. As I mentioned throughout the program, next program we'll be chatting in depth with Amnesty International, Amnesty Australia. And do stay tuned. We'll find out all about their report and how it specifically relates to Aboriginal people here in Western Australia. From myself, Jodie Hoffman, look forward to your company again in a fortnight's time as part of the Law Matters program.